Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, we're still continuing our teaching. I thought I was going to end today, but I'll continue next week on divine leading, the leading of the Spirit, the inward witness, and we're looking at following the inward witness to take decisions. So I haven't gotten to that pointed part yet, but like I said the other time, it's a subject every believer must know. And it's not a subject you can say you have mastered. There's nothing in God's word that you master. You're supposed to practice the word, not master it. Practice the word of God. You know, I must have said this last week, that with the advent of the information era that we call the social media, where we have so much information, you know. I know sometimes you want to do something, and something as simple as, I don't know what comes to my head, just go on Google, pam, 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 pam. You know, like, sometimes you can get so used to getting information on the outside. And that just becomes a pattern of your life. Hallelujah. I've always agreed with Brother Hagin on this, not agree. I've always understood what he said, I take that back, that we should be careful of the spirit of this world. When things become so easy, particularly in the Christian walk, when it's so easy, it's like, oh, this is looking smooth. And you've got to be very cautious. Yeah, I was sharing this day now, and we're talking about freedom that is not God's word. You know, there's a freedom you can get and say, wow, now that I'm, as a younger Christian, you know, we came from the conservative background, and then I think I shared in this service, and we had taste not touch, not handle, not at all. Yeah. So let's, you know, be free. And, you know, it's like when we're in the boarding house, I don't know what boarding house you went to, and you know, you went to the boarding house. I didn't come from a privileged background. We're just fine. Okay. And I say fine, I mean just fine. And there are three levels of provisions in my secondary school. I got the middle one, sometimes the down one. You know. So you took provision to school. And it's just this. Ah, you mean I'm in charge of this entire tin of milk? Some of you knew that my mom would measure it for you. So you found out that you opened it yourself. I won't forget that, you know, my first set of provisions, I think the milk, I finished it either that day or the day after. Because I just felt, you mean I own this thing? Nobody's going to measure it for me and say, one, two, no, that's mine. Forgetting that it will be finished by the next day. And my mom said, till midterm. She was very clear and direct. You know, I went, wow. I think by the second time, I went to ID somewhere else, you know, and all that. So I got all my pocket money at once. At once. And you handle the money like this. Oh my God. You know, and that's why some folks that didn't go to the boarding house, but they went to university, and for the first time, their whole day was theirs. And they say, oh my God, what can I do with this? You know, and you know, at the end of the day, you are going to pay for it. You pay for the freedom. You pay for the milk. Pay for the milk. When I was done taking the milk, I can't forget it. Peak milk. I didn't know my mom was going to change to Dano. You know Dano? And I think she gave me 3 crowns at some point. 3 crowns. Yeah. Was it 3 crowns or carnation? One of the two. But I think the highest one was the peak milk condensed. That was for the big boys. And I just finished the whole thing. 1 week. I became an orphan. So I was sharing this, I said, you know, that's how some people handle the truth. Oh, you mean I don't have to. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for this immeasurable gift. You know, I don't have to fast and pray. I don't have to live right. I don't have to, because now everything is paid for. But Jesus paid for me. You gotta grow up. When you start seeing that you're not growing, when you start growing, you begin to see responsibility. Someone called me, was it last year or 2 years ago? 2 or 3 years ago, one of the camp meetings. I'm out, that must be 2019, because we're having 2020. He says, I was hearing you, I'm just wondering, whether it's because you were talking to workers. I said, what? You said we are saved to serve. I said, is there any problem with that? He said, I'm just thinking. Is that not works? No, I said it's power announcing. Ministry of Works, road transport. Nonsense. I said, you are saved to serve. I said, when Jesus was done with those folks and he taught them for 40 days, what next thing he gave them to do? He said, and to preach. I know, but he said, but we preach out of love, whatever, preach. Say, so we serve out of love. You know, when you start to do something and it's mechanical, you know all those grammar, it's mechanical, it must come from your heart. How do you know it's from your heart? How do you know something is from your heart? It's when it is easy. When it is hard, it's just no longer from my heart. It's because it's hard. But when you slept, was it from your heart? When you ate your breakfast, was it from your heart? You finished the food. And it was all made in China. Right, that one from your heart. Praise the Lord. And you know, that's it. You know, as Christians. So I'll share with this people. I said, look, you can't afford to waste what you have. When you got a hold of God's word and God's word is taught, it's not to become superior over anybody. It's not to live life anyhow. It's to start to live life responsibly. Is that clear? Responsibly. You know? I think it was my third time in my GSS 1 that we now, because the seniors were really after our provisions, so we decided to hide the provisions under the rock. I don't know where the idea came from. I had a friend like that, a very crazy friend. We're about three, so we hid our provisions under the rock, in the rock. If you know government college, there's a little rock. We put it there. We didn't care what was there. So one day, and this is the funny thing, the last day of the term, no, 2 days before the last day of the term, we decided to now take all the provisions at once. You know, that's greed, postponed greed. So we went there and took it, and we're just eating and eating, and until we couldn't continue. So what was the point? You know, I think that night we had a very funny experience. We went to eat in the bush, actually. So when coming back, and at night, there was no light, I think. So my friend, I think I held the torch. I've forgotten the story now. So I just heard some. I said, I think we have a werewolf here. All the things we just went back to the room. You know, that's why you know you can run. You don't say, I'm tired. Ah. We ran that way. You know what I mean by that way. Oh, we never went back there to find out what had happened. Remember, so I think it was years after, of course, years after that, we went to preach somewhere. As we were preaching, they were warning us, stop talking. We said, the name of Jesus Christ, and we were preaching with boldness. And so, about four or five of us, two sisters, we heard, pam, pam, someone said, ah, something's on my head. I said, hey, I feel it. Is it rain? It's not rain. I didn't know those guys were throwing stones, small, small. So it became big, big. My sandals are still there. So when people ask me, why did I leave my sandals? Jesus said, anywhere I don't receive you, you don't. And you go your way. You know? But the point is, you know, let's see the word of God that we receive is not for liberty. That's why Paul says in Galatians 5:13, He says, do not make that liberty of yours. Galatians 5:13. Paul. No, yeah. He says, use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love to serve. So the liberty we have in Christ is for service. So my liberty in Christ is for service. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. As free, and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. So our freedom is for service. Say, our freedom is for service. All right, good. So now I just said a long line of, you know, you hear God's word with the responsibility to practice it, to act upon it. Hallelujah. And this is one of the subjects that you must understand. So I was talking about the freedom of information, and you almost feel like there's a lot to know. And I told someone, I said, if you want to summarize what sin is, what is sin? Right? One word can summarize sin for you. Lack of control. Whatever doesn't have control will lead to sin. Appetite, emotions, thoughts, words, actions, relationships, information, it will always lead to sin. But you know, you have, some guys say, no, that's religion. Religion says you should not know many things. You should not know many things. And you must know everything. If you don't know everything, you must know everything. You know, people say things like that on social media, and I laugh. It's not even practical. You're not talking about the scriptures, though. You can't know everything. How can you want to know everything? You get it? If you don't know everything, open your mind. Open your mind, you know, open your mind. And there's no control. But Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues that govern life. You gotta watch what you watch. Or what you watch will start watching you. And so we put that in practice. Is that clear? So Brother Higgins will say, Kenneth E. again, that there's something in the world, in this world, the spirit of this world is light. Light. It's not light and loose. Light and loose. And it's just like, you know, something that just brings, like I mentioned when I got the boarding house, freedom. You know, you're, I'm free, but you are going to pay for the freedom. Oh, I didn't tell you the other one. Then I get to my teachings. So because I was just getting new books, how many of you in your boarding house, first year in the secondary school, put all your books in one bag, not respecting the timetable? All the books. It was a green bag like that. I can't forget it. So I was carrying the green bag all over the place. All my books. I'm now a secondary school student. I'm not an adult. But you know, so I go to play football. They use my bag as monkey post. And that was a usual practice. But this particular day, we had played set. And I think we won. I was so excited. We left the pitch. We went to the boarding house. This is so terrible that I left the boarding. I got to the room. I changed. Went to the dining hall. Then remembered. Did I take my bag? My bag. Did I take it? Okay. When we scored, then we went to the boys. Did I take my bag? Unfortunately, I finished the food first. Got back and checked, and I didn't see the bag. And I think that week my mom was going to visit. And my mom is an interesting person. She says, how are you? Everything? I say, fine. Have you been reading? I'll tell you the rest of the story later. But oh my God. Oh man, I thought she was a witch. Kind of, what? How did you ask me about my books? Why did you ask me about my books? She said, you should go inside. I said, they've locked my room. Well, who locked the room? Oh my gosh. You know, so that liberty was stupid. I just went, where's the bag? Did I carry it? I think I carried it. And the thing about the book was, the names were written in them very boldly. how anybody stole that. Was that thing really stolen? Because you can't use it. But it was stolen. With all the masset. You know masset? That, master key. Ah, look at you. You don't know if that's master key? Everything was gone. There was this liberty. Woo, I'm free. Such liberty. Same thing when you're approaching senior. You're happy. Why? Because you can break rules. That's all. Oh, now I'm in my SS2. SS3. It means that I can go to class anytime. In the boarding house, nobody's going to wake me up. Very stupid sense of liberty. I have 1 year. If you are not careful, those who are your junior, you come out and rewrite the exam with them. Whether it is an external exam or internal. So that's the way we think of liberty wrongly. And it's not really liberty. Is that clear? We are all stewards of resources, time, and even freedom. Is that clear? Alright, let's move quickly. Matthew 1. Learning something? You learn something from that? Matthew 1:1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, or their genealogy, the son of David and the son of Abraham. And we said, this writer of the Synoptic, intends that we take this book and read it with Genesis. Why? This is a phrase direct from Genesis. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 5 verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. So this connection therefore shows Jesus as Adam, or call him God's kind of man. So which means in reading Matthew, I am reading, put this quickly because I'll come to that shortly, a new Genesis. In reading Matthew, I'm reading a new Genesis, not just that, I'm reading a new genealogy. That's it. Matthew 1:1, Genesis 5:1. And so when it says, go ye, make disciples of every nation, Matthew's Gospel 28 and 19, and he says in 20, lo, I am with you. I am with you is a Genesis fact God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and eventually to Moses. So I am with you, which comes with the Hebrew word that you have the word Emmanuel. It's a redemptive word, or a word of redemption, or let's put it all with it, redemption, okay, new creation, put it together, redemption, that's Matthew 28:20, new creation, righteousness, all right, God's covenant, God's faithfulness, I am with you. So we said, the writer of the Synoptic, or let's say the four Gospels, wrote it with the intention that it should be read with the Old Testament. So it's not a replacement. There is no book in the Bible that replaces the other. Make that clear enough. There is no book in scripture that replaces the other. They are all, right, contextually applicable depending on what you are reading and studying. For example, I showed you the difference between Exodus 20. Let me show you again. Exodus 20, where the Sabbath was discussed there. Exodus 20, and I'm going to read verse 8 through to 11. Exodus 20 verse 8, I'm going to just mention, verse 8 through 11. He uses the creation of the earth as the motif. Alright, creation motif. Now, you know, there was now a generation that had an exodus to Canaan. They didn't perish in the wilderness like their fathers. The same instruction was written to them in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And this time around, Deuteronomy chapter 5, the motif is not the creation of the world. In talking about the Sabbath, verse 11, it says, remember you were a servant in the land of Egypt. The Lord brought thee out, hence through a mighty hand, and by a stretched out hand, therefore the Lord God commanded you to keep Sabbath. Now, so you notice that the Sabbath, right, was now a theology of both creation and redemption. So redemption and creation are synonymous. So Deuteronomy does not replace Exodus. Rather, it expands it, explains it, and brings other issues within the same context. Same way, the epistles weren't written to replace the Old Testament. They were written to explain it, to expand the narrative, or unify them with your world or their world. In Mark's Gospel chapter 1, Mark uses the same theme, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, RK. Same as Genesis or Genesis or genealogy. This one is RK. Same thing as Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Bereshit in the Hebrew. And it comes out as RK here. In other words, he wants us to go back and read Genesis and see Jesus. Genesis and see Jesus. Which means again, Mark is saying what we're seeing in the four Gospels is a Genesis. Now Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now I'm going to pay attention to verse 19. He was lifted up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere. Now right hand is a motif that began from Genesis. We'll show you quickly. Genesis 48. A theme, that's what a motif is. A theme, something you can pick up its echoes across scripture. Genesis 48. Remember, this is Joseph. He wants to bless the children of Joseph. So in verse 13, Joseph took Ephraim in his right hand towards Israel, that's Jacob's left hand, Genesis 48:13, and Manasseh in his left hand so that he could lay hands on Manasseh and ordain Manasseh. And what does he do? He stretched out his right hand and put it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head. So you have firstborn. So firstborn is right hand. Okay? Firstborn is right hand. Right hand of power. Okay, that's what it is. Guiding his hands wittingly for Manasseh, who was firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long, the angel, so he went on and on. Look at verse 17. He saw that he laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim. So from that point, you see the right hand discourse, Exodus 15. Exodus 15. And I'm going to read verse 1 basically. And then he says, he had triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider were thrown into the sea. And then look at 6. The right hand, thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. By thy right hand, you have dashed the enemy in pieces. By your right hand. So you have that right hand motif. And Jesus, therefore, is also called a firstborn from the dead. So you have all that in the beginning of God's creation, firstborn from the dead, head. All those things are within the concept. Remember, beginning also is firstborn and first fruit. And you have that used for Reuben in Genesis 49:3. Reuben, you are my firstborn. The beginning. And that's like Bereshit or Genesis. So Mark uses the same theme. He wants us to go read and see God has ordained Jesus to have his power. Alright, to break the head of the enemy. And that's what we mean by the right hand. It's not the right side of a man. No. Of course, the right hand is used as symbolic, but it's supposed to be within the context of scripture. It refers to authority. Authority, power, and dominion. Again, in Luke lets us know, and in Luke 1, 1 to 3, Luke lets us know he writes it to Theophilus, just like Acts, verse chapter 1, verse 1. And we said, the book of Acts is the B part of the book of Luke. So A is the book of Luke, B is Acts. Now, Luke 24:25 or 27 precisely, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So we see again that there is an attempt, a clear intent, to read Genesis through to Malachi from those who wrote the synopsis. So there were no eyewitnesses. And I said that on Sunday, I repeated on Sunday, that it's not just mere eyewitness. There is eyewitness, or eyewitness according to scripture. So if you look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, he says that we're eyewitness of his majesty. We have a more sure word of prophecy. I told you the word more sure is not comparison. It means what we saw is scripture fulfilled. So which means they saw scripture fulfilled and wrote it as theology. So let me repeat what I said to you on Sunday. That they didn't write it as it was going on. Which means they wrote it years after. And that's also why it's good. I recall something a friend of mine said to me years ago. And TJ said it very lovely way he said it. He said, we're talking about visions. And I remember that day was an early morning, 1994. I saw a very strange vision and quite an important very. So I woke up. Now, there are two guys that gave me the advice, actually. So I got up and I'm feeling, huh, what does it mean? So, from the vision, because it was a trance. So, he said, you know what, when it comes to revelations of God, particularly such experiences, he said, you may not be able to get the meaning until a while. And as I said, it was 1994, about December. I said, okay. I think it was another year after that I saw something stranger. You know, this was even more mind-telling. So I went to Brother Tokes. He told me the same thing. It was 1998. Yeah. Like, because I said, what do you think this is? So he said, well, be quiet, but give it some time. So sometimes you could think you saw something. It's, for some of us, the moment I see something, I know what it is. You know, you could think you rely so much on the senses. If the four gospel writers did not rely on the senses, you shouldn't. It's easy for them to have written just, but they wrote it in line with God's word. So which means I can see God's word in visible human actions and interpret it properly. And I can also misinterpret it. Because the four gospels is the word become flesh, right? That's the scripture become flesh. But some guys didn't know that was what it was. They just gave a normal eyewitness account. So, you know, it's good to give it sometimes. Sometimes it's in Bible study. You say, oh, yeah. So you give it the proper interpretation. So these guys waited for years and they didn't write as it was happening. That's why Mark, of course, that's Luke's, Mark Peter's account, gave it, the Peter's rendering, right? Matthew rearranged it. And Matthew gives it a different theological flavor. And that's literary, what's called literary license. And Luke rearranged it differently. How can they rearrange it? They should write it as they saw it. Keep your mouth shut. According to the scriptures. They saw Jesus teach them what he did according to the scriptures. They saw it. These are the things I said to you while I was yet with you, Luke 24:44, that all things must be fulfilled where the Lord, Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. Oh, so Jesus himself rearranged what they saw according to scriptures. So they were given the license to do that. Luke does that. Now John 1:1, learning something. So what I'm trying to say is, do not trust your sight, your hearing, for direction all the time. You know, you can't. Because these guys, many times you told them, don't tell anybody yet. Huh? Why? Why? Why should we tell people? Don't tell anybody yet. And that all goes with direction too. There are things the Lord will say, all right, share this. Of course, if it's something that's about the local church, and you are not the pastor, you tell the pastor. That's basic authority. So that the pastor knows that it's the devil talking to you, or it was God. Alright, but now if it's about your life, okay, in your ministry, your life, precisely your life, you should not give it a quick interpretation. And I've seen people jump. Whoop, whoop. This is what it means. Particularly those guys who like dreaming. And then the dream said, this must mean this. A man told me, he said, he woke up, he saw a dream and his wife had cone on her head. And she became a snake. What disappointed me in that was that this is a man that, you know, we used to get books from him, Kenneth Hagin books. But you see, someone can just be a bookshop. Ah, true. True. And he said, you know, he said, this woman is so, so, and so. And she had three daughters for him, I think a son. And I said, okay, is it not so glorious that you married a serpentine and she gave you three daughters that are not serpentine? So I said, oh, are your daughters serpentine? No, they are not. Okay, fine. So it's not yet the seed of the serpent. I said, no, he just believed that in the dream. So I asked him one question, I think a month after. I said, have you ever dreamt before, for example, that you had billions? He said, yeah. Did it? Is it billions? Because we are quick to believe the terrible things we see in visions, but the good stories of Rolls Royce tomorrow morning, I don't know. And as you wake up, you won't just say Marwa and so on. Maybe has a song like that. Now, what he's saying is, if you see money in your dreams and you are happy, if you see someone who saw money in his dreams and is happy, say, tell the person to increase his hustle so that he doesn't go hungry. Yeah, that's what it means. Because you saw billions. Did you think it was yours? So you are just making a mockery of this. I said, I'm not making mockery. It's the same dream. You dreamt that you were maybe the president of the United States of America. You don't even have a passport. And you say, because you watch a movie. Because someone watch a movie, you dream from a child. You just look up and you are crying. Mommy, what's going on? Somebody is chasing you. My mom will say, I told you not to watch those things. When I saw her do it to my brother, I never went to her for nightmare. Never. My mom will give you an injection and you are screaming. She will put it in your mouth. So you don't, you're like, But I see her today, I just wonder, how can a human being transform like this? What I said was, we don't believe I'm talking about her. Her. You know, one day I think it was a cat meeting, and she was telling me that she was hearing me talking about her. I said, well, you know, you are the one, you know. I never told her nightmare. She said, that's it. My dad will pray with you. Say, God, please. She said, that's it. And you woke up in the morning and clean the house. What is nightmare, God. But you know, you watch those movies. Someone say you have wet dreams. You have wet dream now. What's in your mind? Yes, sir. It's not a demon. It's not a demon. When you stop watching those things, the demons are cast out. That's what it is. You get it. You can find somebody, for example, from, allow me use this one. Ijebujesha, for example. And at the backside, the person has never seen an airplane in his life. He can't have a dream of an airplane. You know, it's not possible. Okay, some of you are nodding because you are from there. You know, I say it's true. You can't, because you couldn't have had a dream of an airplane that you never saw. So those things you have seen, animals chasing you. Someone say you have seen something. Because why are you scared of something you don't know? If you don't know what it is, just say, hey. But say, hey, who? Then you see somebody sleeping beside you. You find a new creature. What man? In Jesus' name. I take authority over you. Hallelujah. So you see, these guys, they saw those things and took a while before, and even testimonies. I tell, there are testimonies you can share with your pastor, and they're fine. But there are some testimonies, give it some time. Praise the Lord. Alright, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Logos, is what word? The word was with God, and the word was God. The same was beginning with God. So John is direct, you know, he uses it clearly. The beginning, RK, and the word logos. He said the word logos here is not derived from the Greek word Heraclitus primarily, even though that's the derivation of the word logos, but it's from the word dabah yah. We're going to see that in this teaching tonight, which is Genesis 15 verse 1 and 2, and so on and so forth. We're going to see that shortly. So these folks are writing scripture through the life of Jesus. So tonight, since we're looking at the inward witness, and we're looking at if you remember, some of the teachers I taught you on the inward witness, I said to us that the leading of the Spirit, remember I told you, must bear the character of Jesus. Can you remember that? It must bear the character of Jesus. It must be. Because it is God's leading for us. It must bear the character of Jesus. It's more, I'll show you in a moment. So, as we have seen, therefore, let me show you one or two things more. Look at John's Gospel 1. John is clear that he understood Jesus as new Genesis, new redemption, new Exodus. In John 1, because he wrote about the Logos and the Arche, John 1, I'll read verse 32. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. It abode upon him. All right? So if Genesis 1:1 is an exodus, a redemption, all right, a new beginning, and you see the same thing, Genesis 1:2, the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters, the deep. Same Greek word, if you go to the left Septuagint, same Greek word. Then he says that Jesus, okay, the same was beginning of God, all things were made by him, John 1:1-3, without him was anything made, and him was life, and the life was the light. The light shineth in the darkness. He is not hiding the fact that he has seen Jesus as a Genesis, the new Genesis, the fulfillment of it. So the Spirit upon, right, is in the baptism of John. And the baptism of John is Exodus. Then in Jordan, Jesus will take away sin, alright? He will baptize with the Spirit. But he sees the Spirit upon him. In verse 23, he says, the voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Oh, beautiful. That's Isaiah 40 verse 3, Malachi 3:1. Who are writing from Exodus 23, verse 20 and 21. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? So it's showing you Jesus as the messenger of the Exodus. So, because Genesis 1:1-3 is saying the same thing. So you see the Spirit upon him, alright, is how the darkness will shine and the light will shine. Sorry, that light will shine and the darkness will not comprehend it. So you have the Spirit upon, and you go to the scriptures generally, Numbers 11, Isaiah 44 verse 3, Isaiah 60 verse 1, Isaiah 61 verse 1-3, and of course, Joel 2 verse 28. The Spirit upon is to announce God's work in the earth. So Jesus does that here. He doesn't stop there. In Acts 1:4, he says, you have waited for the promise of my Father, which you have heard of me. And he told them, many days from hence. John indeed baptized with water, Acts 1:5. So when he says John baptized with water, they knew that John's baptism was an echo of Moses. They knew what it was. So you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power, after which the Holy Ghost is come upon you, shall witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So what's going on? Jesus is the leader of a new Exodus, and he identifies with them and brings them into that company. So the Spirit upon, pay attention here, the Spirit upon is us partaking in God's work in the earth. And notice this is critical here. And we did it in some of our new books, and I did mention that in some teachings some years back, that if you look at the book of Acts, which is a pattern of New Testament church, as we call it, all believers, Acts 2:1-4, Acts 8:14-21 and 22, Acts 9, Paul, Saul of Tarsus, Acts 9, 15, 17. Of course, Acts 10, the house of Cornelius, verse 44 or 44 to 46. And Acts 19, the 12 folks at Ephesus, Acts 19, verse 3 to 6. I'll take that again. Acts 2, 1 to 4, alright? Acts 8, 14, Samaria, 2, 22 and 23. Acts 9, 16, 15 and 16, Saul of Tarsus. Acts 10, house of Cornelius. 44 and 45, 46. Then Acts 19, all right, Ephesus, the 12 folks that Paul met at Ephesus, verse 2 through to verse 6. Notice that the Spirit upon was for all believers. So everyone is enlisted in God's company of ministry. So the Spirit upon is ministry, and all believers are to have the Spirit upon. It means ministry is not a choice, even though you choose. Ministry and service is very importantly what all believers eventually partake in. So let's drive on a few things. So which means the ministry of the Spirit is closer than sometimes we think. Alright, it's closer than we think. And as we have said, alright, the work of the Spirit that we find in the epistles, in the book of Acts, is not new to those books. It's founded in the scriptures of the prophets. Let's pick a few things. When we say the Holy Ghost said, for example, the Holy Ghost said, oftentimes, is a narration of God speaking through people. And I want to say this as much clearly as I can tonight on this. Speaking through people. If you were in the leadership meetings, I must have said this again and again. Let's see. Acts 1. Verse 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled. It says, which the Holy Ghost, how? Pay attention now. By the mouth. That the word is stoma in the Greek. It means by the words. Which the Holy Ghost by the words. Or by the speech. Which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David said before concerning Judas. Amen. So, if she says something by the Spirit, it's God talking to me. The Holy Ghost by her mouth. The Holy Ghost by your mouth. He's God speaking. The Holy Ghost by the mouth of David. Interestingly, when David is speaking, let's come to this shortly, which is Psalm 41 verse 9. Not just that, but precisely really is Psalm 20. Psalm 69 verse 25, Psalm 109 verse 8. Psalm 69 verse 25, Psalm 109 verse 8. The writer doesn't say the Holy Ghost is speaking. He just speaks. So sometimes we can lose out because we have a, you know, I told you the other day that there are different ways God leads us. And we must know that. You can lose out because you expect it to be one way and it's not that way. So he says, the Holy Ghost by the mouth, and this is a consistent narrative. Let's see another one. Acts 2:17. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. Now notice verse 16. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. 17. Saith God. No, it was Joel that said it. No, it was God who said it. Come on. No, Joel is God. It's Joel. Well, it's Joel and God. God uses people to speak. Let me see how the following this tonight. To speak. God uses people to speak. Now, notice. Acts 2, again. David being a prophet, knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that on the foot of his loins, according to his flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on the throne. Seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Jesus, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. So, which means God put his words in the mouth of David. Let's see Acts 4. Watch this again. You mustn't lose sight of this. I said, well, the Old Testament, not the Old Testament. I know you don't think like that, right?
That's the Old Testament, not the Old Testament, not the Old Testament.
Now, what's for these? Acts 4, 24. They said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that is in them is, 25, slow, let's go. Who, by the mouth of thy servant David, had said. Can you say it again? You can't miss this. This is after the resurrection of Jesus. And as in, you spoke by the mouth of so and so. So, Acts 15. This is when they were resolving the issue of the Gentiles. Verse 14. Simeon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Now, look up. Who visited the Gentiles? You know the story? Who went to meet Cornelius? Who did they say went to meet them? God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see? They said, God visited them, but it was Peter who went. Acts 15, just back up a bit. Verse 7. God made choice among them that the Gentiles by my mouth will hear the word of gospel. Now, Acts 15, I'm not done. Look at verse 15. To these agree the words of the prophet, as is written, after this I will return. So the words of the prophet, right, is according to God. God said it. I told you, if you are going to learn to listen to God, you must listen to who? Man.
Oh, but this is just about the Old Testament. This is about the Old Testament. This is not the, this is the, this is
all right, let's see. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13. These guys, let's start from 11. They were in the church at Antioch. In 27, in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. Now this is a little bit of it's not chronologically. What they're basically saying was that those folks who left Jerusalem in Acts 8, some of them are prophets. That's what he's saying. I've explained that to us before. And there stood up, verse 28, one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there will be great death throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. So he got up and told the church, this is going to happen. Then the disciples, every man, according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren which dwells in Judea. So you could see that they understood that when God puts his words in men, it's God talking to them. It's Acts 11. In Acts 13, you learn something? Acts 13. Now there were in the church that were Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, the man in which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, what happened here? The Holy Ghost said, this is Paul. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work where I've called them. You and I know the loudspeaker did not just come on his own, right? Holy Ghost said means you are used to. That means one of them spoke, right? That's it. So, is that just like the Old Testament? Huh? Is it the leading of the Spirit? Now let's go on. We're not done. Now, when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them. Watch this and send them away. Let's take four together and slowly. And they've been sent forth by who? Have you seen the same narrative? Sent forth by the Holy Ghost. It's so the writers are intentional to let you see that God is walking through men in New Testament, as we call it. Is that clear? All right, good. But do you observe that those people are authority figures? Right? Ha. This is why you and I, we must never succumb to this loose thing called online church. It's ridiculous. And many times, you will know the trajectory. Brother Hagin will say, there's no new era. They come around every 40 years. Brother Hagin, the years have reduced. You know it. You know, the church sometimes just gets over-frenzied about something new. This is what we're going to be doing now. This is what we're going to be doing now. And some guys like new things. I remember a preacher like that. He just had one new truth there. He said, this is what I'm going to preach to you. Jesus comes. Then my friend Larry said, he said, watch him. Let's give him 2 years. After 2 years, he changed it. So recently, when the same person said, I'm going to be preaching this and all that, me and Brother Tok said, let's give him 5 years. He's just, and people are just excited. Say the new normal. Now we can pray. We can pray in our homes. We can do this nonsense. So people started having multiple churches, multiple pastors. There's one they will pray with by 6 a.m. No, I'm not talking about anyone particular. I'm just saying, 6 a.m. prayers. Some is 9. Another one is 12. One is Bible study for evening. Another one will be prophesying by evening. How? Are you not in trouble? You are in a lot of trouble. Everybody say, the body of Christ is not anybody. Someone say, this is all these churches thing is control. Jesus told the woman at the well. He said, you will no longer worship at this mountain. I said, so where is the mountain? You will not worship in the spirit. You don't even know what you're talking about. What's the spirit? The spirit is in my room. Why didn't you tell your children you have many fathers? Or your wife, you have, okay. Don't let me create trouble with that one. You see, how can you talk that stupidly? They're authority figures. Authority figures. You know, there's a prophecy in Holy Ghost meeting. People say, woo, glory! And you're writing it down. And writing it down, say, and then, you know, but the one that comes from your pastor, don't write it down, write it on your heart. That one is serious. Is that clear? They're authority figures. Is that clear? And it's the leading of the Spirit. Then it's up. Look at Acts 20. Acts 16 first. And when they had gone throughout Phrygia and region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So just all those instructions. It says the Holy Ghost that forbade them. Then again the Spirit suffered them not to go in verse 7. Then verse 9, they had a vision. And look at what it intended. They now gathered it that the Lord wanted them to go and preach. Oh, what intelligence. Look at Acts 20. Glory to God. So you find some people, they want to go and pray, Lord. They say, Lord, speak to me. They will now go to one far mountain. After a ruakiti. They will go and pray. There was one guy like that. He will tell us, we should call him Pastor Faith. He will pray, say, I want to go and hear the voice of God. Say, there's one mountain somewhere. That one angel fell into one pit. And his leg was caught there. And so the... So he said he was going there. After he has come back from that mountain, Pastor Faith, I will hide his real name because we are still brothers. He will come back. I want to do Bible study. He... I go, said, you don't answer me. Go and say, ah. So when I tell him, emoji, he said, my friend, you know, I went to pray. So that's why I'm tired. He said, we are preaching God's word. He said, I know, I don't know. He will never hear anything. You have all the prophecies. You didn't eat to those ones. He said, I just want to be sure. I want to be sure. I want to be sure. The one we have said here, that we have spoken of. You know, I want to go and sense something. When someone say they sense something, I'll tell you, you are not sensing anything. You that you don't listen. I will know when someone is not led. See, if I can't lead you, God can't lead you. Let me say it again. If your pastor cannot, God cannot lead you. You are hearing voices. You know, we all know how to hear voices. I just perceive, and I see. And I see. And I pass it. You don't want to hear yourself. This is a being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. This is a New Testament church. Did he say, let's go and confirm it? From who? Say, I know, but let's confirm. Confirm from where? Acts 20. Verse 22. Now behold, I go bound in the spirit of Jerusalem, not knowing the things that are before me, saying that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. So when you hear the Holy Ghost said, he uses whose words? The words of men. Hallelujah. When you say, this year, God has told us, we're in a year of supernatural harvest for the more. You don't say, it's God that's, are you clear? God told us. That's how to solve. God told us. You know, some guys are attacking. My pastor said. I said, what's wrong with my pastor said? He said, no, we should not put the word of man over the word of God. Which is the word of God? The written word. Which one did God write? Nonsense. Look at Acts 20. Paul was the one who raised these guys in Acts 19. These elders. He taught them by the space of 3 years altogether. In Acts 20. Look at verse 28. Take heed. Let's take it together. Let's go. Take heed to yourselves. And to all the flock. Over which who? Has made you what? Now who made them overseers? Paul. Said the Holy Ghost made you overseers. The moment your pastor says, lead prayer on Monday. You say, God told me to lead prayer on Monday. Is that clear? That's what you say. Is that clear? That's how to talk. This is the language of the Bible. I'm not talking about social media nonsense. I'm not talking about people's argument. I don't care what people say. This is God's word. The Holy Ghost said. The Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul says verse 14. Verse 14, neglect not the gifts that is in you. You know, many of us who are what men we call ourselves, we struggle with this verse. There was one time like that, I remember in the group, it was the 90s. I searched all the Greek materials I could find. I said, how can Paul say, given to you by the laying on of hands? No, we are in Christ Jesus. Nobody can do these things. Also, I know. I said, in Christ, we have the fullness. That what he's saying there is confirmed. It's not there. Which was confirmed. Is confirmed is not there. What he's saying there is, it became obvious. It's not there. I search and search. There was nothing. In fact, I used to use one by so-called 26 translations. I searched through, not 26, is it 26? I searched and searched and searched. I searched through translations. And I was a Greek student. I studied. I said, no, let me find some syntax issues. There was nothing. He says, the gift which is in you, which was given you. Look at what he says. The gift is in you. It was given you. Hey. By prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Paul recognizes the calling of Timothy as what God gave him through men. Same way he was sent forth by the Holy Ghost, it was men who sent him forth. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Stir up the gift of God which is in you. If you had missed the first one, by the putting on of my hands. You don't say it was confirmed. What's confirmed? If somebody is not full of the Spirit, doesn't speak in tongues, when you lay hands, are you confirming it or you are getting it filled? You say, somebody is not saved. You say, I'm confirming the salvation you already have. No. You have brought salvation to him. Is that not it? If by your words, is it not by your words? Are they not the words of life? Do your words bring salvation to people's hearts? Is it God that brought salvation? So why is ministry different? Who's following what I'm saying here? Are you following what I'm saying here? We miss out on the leading of the Spirit because there are certain things we have known wrongly. Glory to God. It's God. Amen. Say it's God. The local church. I heard this from Pastor Chris Oyakhilome in the 90s. Precisely 1995. And it stuck. He said, we must see the local church as the orchestration of the Holy Spirit. And that blessed me. Now, this gives responsibility to the leaders to ensure that they are full of the Spirit all the time. That they are full of the word. Because that's how God will work. Is that clear? All that individual leading, right, only become effective, right, with the corporate fellowship. There's no plan of God for your life outside the body of Christ. Know that one, no peace. None. Including everything about you. Is it by his plan? Is that clear? That's why sometimes we miss it out in prayer. Say prayer is a conversation with the Father. Yes, it is. Prayer is a, you know, I'm getting something from the Father. The Father is giving me. Prayer is way more than that. Prayer is you. I like what E.W. Kenyon calls it. Joining forces with the Father. That's the book in his presence. That book broke me down. I read it first in 1994, December. It broke me down in his presence. By E.W. Kenyon. I believe it was one of the greatest books ever written. And he said, it's joining forces with the Father. So prayer is joining forces. It's not, Lord, give me, my name is give me, I take all you give me. Joining forces with the Father. Yes, it's true. We have different dimensions of prayer. There's a prayer in the prayer, place of prayer where we have needs, we ask. But that's too minute in prayer. The work of prayer is knowing God's needs. Because he does have them. And he uses your words, as we have seen. Your words to bring his will to pass in the earth. Same way as the way he leads you. He leads you into his own will. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we are led by the Spirit of God. So we are led by the Spirit of God. Go to Exodus 23. We were there last week. Exodus 23. Verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep you in the way, to bring you to the place that I prepared. To keep you, to bring you to the place. Now, Jeremiah 32. And verse 10. He found him in the desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Verse 11. As an eagle stirs up our nest, flutters over our young, spreads abroad our wings, takes them, bears them on our wings. So the Lord alone did lead him. There was no strange God with him. The Lord led him. And that word in the Greek is the same word in Romans 8:14. Ago, to lead. To lead. To lead. And we've seen the study that this angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, is the manifestation of God in a visible way. Jesus. We've seen that. The angel of Yahweh. That's God on a mission. That's what it is. It's not an angelic being. We said, we studied that the word angel, Malak, is not a particular person. Jacob called God the angel that redeemed him. Genesis 48 and 16. The messenger. The messenger. One who carries the message. That's why we see Jesus as a servant in the four gospels. That's not the first time. He's a God, the servant. The servant God. And so this same person is in the book of Psalms, taught there. Psalm 78. We were there the other day. Let's see it again. Psalm 78. Learning something? So the leading of God and His Spirit can be seen from the Old Testament books. Psalm 78 and 40. How often did He provoke Him in the wilderness and grieve Him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Now those words are the same words we read just now. In Exodus 23, verse 20 and 21. Look at verse 56. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God, and kept not His testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful vow. Now this is that angel of the Lord is now called the Most High God. Okay? Now go to Isaiah 63. Now I'm going to read Isaiah 63, I'm going to read verse 8 through to verse 9 and then verse 10. I'll read it in the King James and I'll give you from the Septuagint. Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, one of the major translations that Jesus used. Verse 8. For He says, surely they are My people, children that will not lie. So He was their Savior. In all their affliction, He was afflicted, and the angel of His presence saved them. In His love and in His pity, He redeemed them, He bore them, and carried them all days of old. And He rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit before He was turned to be the enemy, He fought against them. And when He remembered the days of old, Moses and His people, saying, where is He that brought them out of the sea with the shepherd of His flock? Where is He that put His Holy Spirit within Him, led them by the right hand of Moses with His glorious arm, dividing the waters before them to make Himself an everlasting name. So He says, we feel the leading of the Spirit in the Exodus. Now let me read this from the Septuagint again. And we'll go to one other story that we close. Learning something here? Isaiah 63. I'm going to read from verse 8. It says here, are they not My people? Children, they will never rebel. And He became their salvation. Alright? He became unto them salvation from all their affliction. Not an elder or a messenger, but He Himself, this is the Septuagint, saved them. He Himself He himself, I'm reading the scripture now. He himself saved them. Because he loved them and spared them. He himself ransomed them and took them up and exalted them all the days of eternity. But he resisted and provoked his Holy Spirit, and he turned to enmity against them, and he himself made war with them. But he remembered the eternal days. Where is the one who brings the shepherd of the sheep up from the sea? Where is the one who puts the Holy Spirit amongst them? So we see the work of the Holy Spirit in the Exodus. The leading of the Spirit in the Exodus. Not story. The leading of the Spirit. Now, go quickly and let me show you this. 1 Kings. 1 Kings. 1 Kings 19. So we've seen that, you know, we looked at the Urim and Thummim. The Urim and Thummim is when you want to make specific decisions. We're still going to look at that later. I guess next week. Later on. And where that comes in, it's over next week. Where that comes in, where we want to say, is it a yes or no? We said that. And what to do. Now, in 1 Kings 19, we see a man by the name of Elijah. Now, we'll read quickly verse 11. Go forth and upon the mount before the Lord. Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. The Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, and the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, verse 12, a fire. The Lord was not in the fire, but after the fire, a still small voice. Now, let's pick on this very well. Remember I said the Lord was not in it. Now, the background of this story is not difficult. He had brought judgment upon Israel because they had backslidden, they gone unto gods. He comes back, of course, there's rain that stops, he brings back rain. Then he calls an open conflict with the prophets of Baal. And then the prophets of Baal were shamed, Baal was seen as a disgrace. And later on, he was threatened. Jezebel, 1 Kings 19, says he wants to kill him. Then he runs. Now, notice all of this. Right? He runs. He's human. He comes from a height of great exploits to a fragile state. James would say he was a man of like passions, like you and I. So after such great exploits, you wouldn't think he would be this human and vulnerable. And it's a woman, not in any way belittling the woman, but a woman now threatening him. In their kind of culture where women were secondary, you know, in nature, I remember I was having this, because I was a bit disturbed that Paul, in Paul's rendering of, this is by the way, but in Paul's rendering of 1 Corinthians 15 and those that saw Jesus, Paul never spoke about the women. Luke did. John. Matthew. Even Mark. Paul never. Paul said he was seen by 400. Mentions the 12 apostles. Doesn't mention the women. Strange of Paul. Now, of course, much of the four gospels were written after Paul's letters. But why didn't Paul mention the women? This is something besides what I'm teaching, but of course it's also a kind of wisdom. And, you know, I've told you before, Jesus, for example, in his earlier teachings, didn't talk about judgment. Just went straight and talked about God's gracious mercy. And later on, started talking about judgment. Which is that you can actually also be led to know what to teach part time. It's not every subject you teach part time. Sometimes you can teach the wrong thing, the right thing at the wrong time. You follow what I'm saying here? Now, in this instance, I'm wondering, why didn't Paul talk about the women? But you could see in Paul's letters that he is, in 1 Corinthians 11, he tells a woman to prophesy. Authoritative speaking. In Romans 16, he talks about Philip. In Acts, we see in his ministry, we have a whole lot of women ministry. How come he didn't talk about women witness? Because their culture still frowned at women witnesses. And you don't create unnecessary controversy. Particularly, it's a letter. In a letter, you can achieve so much. So if you're writing on Facebook, you don't write so much in a so much way. If it's a restricted place. Because, you know, if he puts that kind of thing, let it go, well, it was sin of some women, and then he goes into, oh. And then rather than read the letter, they say, which women? The argument will go. You know, all the things he said about the gifts of the Spirit will be lost. So sometimes, that you don't say some doesn't mean you don't believe it. That you don't teach doesn't mean you don't believe it. And this goes into being led to by the Spirit. Are you following what I'm saying here? You just don't know. We know Paul was a strong advocate against that day's culture about women in ministry and authority. But how come he didn't put it in his letters? 1 Corinthians 15 doesn't talk about Jesus being seen of the women. But John did. Matthew, Mark, Luke, which means Luke was very loud about it, and Luke is Paul's apostle, disciple. In other words, so that's not everything you know you teach. Make sense? Be led. Don't go create crisis. I told a younger pastor, he's not a member of this church, but he's a pastor too. I said, if I should teach you all I know, you'll go mad. Literally. I said, I try to weigh time and take things. Sometimes, you know, your folks, there's a teaching series I did was in one of our classes, Liverpool Bishop Academy, then we're called LTP. It was a pneumatology class. The first class I taught, and your pastors were all students, they all failed it. So, did it again, they all failed it. After I added marks and marks and marks, they still failed. That means they didn't understand it. And then I taught the class after them, and they all failed it. Their own was worse. So I told myself, I'm going to teach this over at least next 10 years. So I broke it down. If I stopped teaching that course, right? I gave it to those who passed it. So I stopped teaching the course. Without the Spirit. But most of those things are now, many of the things are now in our books. You even know them. You break it down. You take your time. The essence of teaching is people to understand. How can someone not understand? And they say, I blessed you. Did I bless you? Yes, you blessed me. The guy is going, he's blessed by faith. That's not fair. You could be led. Hallelujah. So Paul here is quiet. About women witnesses of the resurrection, he doesn't talk about, we know the women were the first witnesses. Paul doesn't say it. He doesn't deny it, but he doesn't say it. Glory to God. Learning something here? Very good. So watch this now. Drive it home. So he's human. Woo! Elijah runs from the woman. Look at it. Verse 3. Whoever wrote this isn't so nice. When he saw that, he arose and went for his life. And came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. He himself went the day, joined the wilderness, and came and sat in the juniper tree, and requested for himself that he might die, and said, it's enough, O Lord, take my life, and I'm not better than my others, and all that. And he lay and slept under the juniper tree, and behold, then an angel, by translation, touched him, and said to him, arise and eat. I'm going to read the Septuagint for us, here. This takes a whole lot of things away from what happened. The Septuagint here, and I checked the Greek, the Hebrew, so I saw the Septuagint was correct. 1 Kings 19. Then is on the place. Right. Now, some are going to have it as four kingdoms. That's what they're going to have. So he says here, he asked, I'm reading verse 4. He asked for his life to die and said, it is enough. Now take my life from you, O Lord. In verse 5, as he fell asleep on the tree, someone touched him. Because that's the way the Greek of the Old Testament says, someone touched him. King James is an angel. So I checked the Hebrew. The Hebrew just said, someone sent. It doesn't use a or an. Someone sent. Now, who is that person? Touched him. Arise and eat. And looked and behold, there was a cake and all that. And then look at verse 7. The angel of who? Jesus? Is that Jesus? Huh? The angel of Yahweh. Came again the second time and touched him. Arise and eat. Same person. Malak Yahweh. He arose in the eat and went in strength. of that meat, 40 days and 40 nights. Now look at why, look at, it says, arise and eat because the journey is too great for you. Okay? So 40 days and 40 nights before you embark on 40 days and 40 nights, ensure that the Lord that says you eat a particular meal. Alright, so the journey is far. So you better don't die here. And he came either unto the cave and lodged there, and behold what? Same person? Same person? So this is where Jesus' different descriptions are found in the Old Testament. The word, Dabar Yahweh. The one who appeared to Abraham. Genesis 15 verse 2, 3. Yeah? And verse 5. Samuel for Samuel 3. And of course Jeremiah. The word of the Lord. Pay attention here. And said to him. Came to him and said to him, what thou doest here? Said, I've been jealous of the Lord God of hosts for the children of Israel, and forsaking thy covenant, went on and on to seek my life. And he said in verse 11, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. The Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks, but the Lord was not in the wind. After wind, an earthquake, the Lord was not in the earthquake. Now look at verse 12. And after the earthquake, a fire, the Lord was on the earthquake, in the fire, a still small voice. Now, I'm going to give you the Hebrew of that, is the word kol di mama dakwa, spell it for you. Q-O-L, D, then M-A-double-M-A-H, D-A-Q-U-C-H, or C, D-A-Q-U-A-H, dakwa. C-Q-O-L, D-double-D, M-A-M-M-A-H and D-A-Q-U-A-H. Now, pay attention please. It says, a still small voice, right, which is the word call. Again, Genesis 3:8, the voice of the Lord God walks in the cool of the day. Now, this phrase here, I'm going to pick it again from the Septuagint. The Septuagint calls it a sound of a small breeze. A sound of a small breeze. Now, why is this written? So that you know that God has different ways that He speaks to us. And there's no one way. Now, this is like a gentle, I'm trying to see what a gentle, such an easy voice. So, the Septuagint says it sounds like a wind. So, it comes with an impression. This is one of the closest descriptions of the inward witness in the Old Testament. Closest. Now, watch this. It was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle. And went out and stood in the entering the cave, and behold, there came unto him a voice, the word call. What are you doing here? There came a voice. Again, the word call. So all of us who are born of God hear his voice. Oftentimes, it's because we have what we want to hear. We've seen that he uses fellow believers, Christian leaders, right, to speak to us. Visions, impressions, and also still small voice. A gentle King James, the Septuagint says like a breeze. A breeze. And you feel, seems like God's telling me something. God's always talking. To Elijah, he came as Malak Yahweh, word of the Lord, still the same person. So, in every circumstance and situation, God's talking to you. Hallelujah. It always does. And every time God speaks to us, He speaks to us by revelation. Revelation means it is not from the natural. So it's not like a feeling of fear, a feeling of cold like you are feeling right now, or heat. I told someone, I said, the person was really, really upset. And was really upset, was last 3 weeks or so. So I'm really upset. And then a person is crying. He's crying, and the wife was there. Oh, well, sorry. Well, let me call her the wife. Well, then, I said, this can never be God, you know. So I said, this can't be God. Because this is the work of the flesh. And God will not use the work of the flesh to speak to you. Because the work of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit are contrary. But the world will think that's the right thing to do. When you're emotionally charged up and you are upset and you are excited or you are angry or you are, and you say, and you are provoked to say something. And yet for us as believers, that's not the time to take any decision. Because when I'm led by the Spirit of God, I must know I am led by the Spirit of God. I must know I'm led. And I'll say this even in the work of ministry. Some of us think sometimes ministry is just, I know what to preach, I go and preach. No, you should be led. Is that clear? You should be led. The things you want to say, or follow up and you just say, no, don't say this one. The things you know, you want to say, no. And I've even learned, if people come to me for counseling now, people know this very well. Ask all your pastors, ask who are close to me, especially my children. And they say, I say, give me some time. And they go, oh, only God knows. And people say, that's another 9 months. Does it matter? Give me some time. And I believe that, why am I saying that? Because I believe when I'm praying, and I'm praying for something, the Lord will just bring that to my mind. And I'll just open to Him. Jesus says, remember that brother who told you? All right. If he comes again, say this to him. That could be a month. It could be a year or never. Hallelujah. Tell me now. Hallelujah. God is long suffering. He holds on. So in ministry, you be like that. You want to say something. Mm-mm. You know that there's that impression on your heart. You know, I like something TJ said years back. I'm referring to him a lot because, you know, this is an area that he used to teach a lot. And then he would say, sometimes, I'm going to teach you later on, leading up the Spirit, you would literally, at times, almost feel like your whole being is involved in it. And it's supernatural. I'll share this later on. You cannot ignore that you are being led by the Spirit of God. You will know that you're led by the Spirit of God. And if there's something, you see now, a believer should know, I'll close here, must know how to take opportunities. Paul says it. Paul says that if you're a slave, okay, which means if you're a servant in a place, he said if you have opportunity to own your own company, Paul says use it. Now, he didn't say fire your boss before you go and resign tomorrow. And then he started telling us to agree. I won't agree with you. So you can do that. You can take initiatives. But you see, if there's something a believer should know, when something in the world is in vogue, I told you last week, if you see that there's a fashion trend as a child of God, and there's nothing wrong in the fashion, it's lovely. For the sake of training yourself to be led by the Spirit, decide not to do what everybody is doing immediately. Have some control over the affairs of this world.
If you see some people are going to do something, and you see unbelievers and believers are excited the same way, be a bit cautioned. Because you are led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Is that clear? I'm led by the Spirit of God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's pray in tongues.